I thought about a verse to open this up with this morning. The one that came to mind is Philippians 1:6. He who has begun a good work in you, in all of us, will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Amen? That's really what we're here to declare, that we're here to celebrate and to thank the Lord for all the good work he's done over the 20-plus years of ministry at Oak Hills Vista Evangelical Covenant Church. And we're also here to launch us into the next season of good work he'll do in each of our lives. That's why I thought this verse was so perfect, that he who has begun this good work is not done. When we follow the living God, there's no church that's dead. We just get reassigned. And God has new assignments and new growth for us. So in that, we want to just start with reflections and encouragement. And we're so blessed. Pat and his wife, Karen, come on up, Pat, have come from the PSWC. We can welcome him with a good round of applause. Thank you. And Pat is the associate superintendent, right?
That's right.
And, you know, I met Pat when I first came on. And Pat, well, you were like interim superintendent, right? So he's been a shepherd to me from the very beginning. So it's really special to me that he's here. He's shepherded me all the way through, and he's here to shepherd us as well. So thank you for coming, Pat. Thank you, Karen, for being here. They only sat in the back, not to be antisocial, but they do have a plane to catch towards the end of our program. They might have to leave. So I'm going to give you this. Okay.
Good afternoon, everybody. Hey, it is a real pleasure to be with you. What a wonderful bunch of folks. I was greeted warmly by a whole bunch of you. I'm passing around something, and I'm sure some of you are going, what is this? These are corn seeds, and I just want everybody to take one. Don't eat it. Just hang on to it. Once it gets through one table, just pass it to the next one over here. First of all, I want to bring you greetings on behalf of our superintendent, Paul Wilson. If you don't know a lot about the Evangelical Covenant Church, I don't want to assume anything, but we divide our country into conferences. Our conference is a five-state region, Arizona, California, Nevada, Utah, and Hawaii. And this last September, I left the church that I planted in Phoenix, Arizona, to assume the role of associate superintendent. And I have the pleasure of getting to serve the San Diego area and churches all around Southern California and Arizona. So I was thrilled when I was asked to come and be with you for this celebration time. And so I want to bring you greetings not only on behalf of Paul, but on behalf of the conference and our entire conference team. I want to thank all of the various leaders, and I'm sure there are many of you here today over the 25 years that you've been in existence. I just want to thank you for the timeless effort that you have put in to the work of what it is to be Vista Covenant Church. I want to thank every staff person who has served, who has given of their time, who have made sacrifices. I especially want to say thank you to Marilyn, my sister, who has been so resilient and so steadfast and so faithful to her calling all the way through. I'm just so grateful for all of you and what you have put into this church. We're grateful for not only who you've been, but who you are going to be in the future. And I'll talk about that in just a second. My wife and I met with Marilyn last night for dinner, and I told her, you know, what I thought I might say this afternoon, and I shared with her a verse. She said, "That's funny, because that's the verse I taught on last week." So I'll take that as a God thing. John 12:24, which says, and this is Jesus speaking about his impending death. He said, "I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil." I couldn't find any wheat kernels, so that's why I got the corn ones. "Unless a kernel of wheat is planted in the soil and dies, it remains alone. But its death will produce many new kernels, a plentiful harvest of new lives." So I'm not a farmer, but I did a little research. Estimates vary, but some suggest that one single kernel of corn, when properly planted, and nurtured will produce, anybody know? 600 kernels of corn at harvest time. One single kernel. That's pretty amazing. You each have a kernel of corn, a corn seed, in your hands. And you can keep it, or you can plant it, you can throw it away, but I want you to just look at it, just for a moment. Just look at it. You see, it's not just a corn seed. It's sweet corn. And today is hard for some of us. It's sad. Maybe there's even some bitterness. But a day is coming when things are going to be sweet. See, Jesus was referring to his own death here in this passage. His death on a cross so it could bring forth new life. Life for all who would believe. It was laying down his life that would result in much fruit for all eternity. So in a real sense, following Jesus is about dying to self, and you know that. You've probably heard it preached 1,000 times, but now you're living it. You get to actually apply in a real way what this verse is communicating. Jesus modeled this when he knelt down and washed his disciples' feet. He spoke of it when he said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny him or herself and take up their cross and follow me. You have been a witness and an influence for Christ in this community for 25 years. There's a lot to celebrate, much to give thanks for. And you know, we're never going to know this side of heaven, the kind of impact that you, this church, has made in the lives of other people. But I want you to at least have a picture in your mind of what it looks like to be this legacy that you're becoming today. So, if I could, I want to ask you to close your eyes, and I want to paint a picture for you. You see, as you end your life as a church community, your remaining assets move forward in mission. And so I want you to picture a young, vibrant church planter learning that because Vista became a legacy church, that this pastor will have the resources to begin a new thing. I want you to see in your mind a church that is perhaps wildly different than your experience, than your taste, than your style, but people, 10, 20, 30, new people, unchurched people, de-churched, spiritual seekers, disenfranchised people. They begin to attend this new church because you, Vista, provided the means for it to be birthed and live. After a season, I want you to picture this. These people begin to stick and they bring their kids and their neighbors and their coworkers. And soon there are 100 and then more. These people, some who never thought that God would be interested in the likes of them, experience Jesus and surrender their lives to him. All because you gave yourselves away. They aren't just saved, aren't just baptized. But these new believers, like Matthew the tax collector, begin to invite their unchurched friends because they don't know any better. They invite them to come and see this new church. And these baby Christians begin to serve and give and sacrifice and live into the model of the first century church because Vista Covenant Church gave themselves away. Now, I want you to see this church and hundreds like them in your mind's eye. Because this is what it looks like to multiply yourself when you give yourself away. Because you will not just be helping one church, but hundreds that will be planted over the coming years your seed of sweet corn will help to grow a movement of sweet young churches that will open its doors to those who don't yet know Jesus. You can open your eyes. So I want to assure you that that's not just a fantasy. Because you see, I was a church planter 13 years ago. And I, like all Covenant Church planters, are made aware that we are planting with the seeds of churches like yours, who gave themselves away. What I described to you was the experience that we had as a church. We started, we had $0. We had nothing. And the covenant said, because other churches had decided to be a legacy church, among other things, you now have the opportunity to reach new people for Christ. And that church, Genesis Church in Phoenix, Arizona, is still alive, still going strong, still reaching lost people. So I want to say thank you. Thank you for following the Spirit. Thank you for the work that you have done and the work that you are going to continue to do, and may not see the results this side of heaven, but you will one day. One day, you're going to run into people bopping around the heavens, and they're going to say, thank you. Thank you for what you did way back in 2017, because you decided to end your time as an official church. You birthed the church where I met Jesus. So thank you, Vista, and thank you for having me.
Good word, encouraging to us how the Lord continues to use what we're doing even now. We want to go back to the very beginning because our founding pastor or church planter got to see a lot of that good works. In fact, I think it'll be a real blessing for him to see the video later, to see the fruit of his initial labors and how God used it in the beginning. So our founding pastor, Pastor David Dobbins-Speck, would you come on up? David was a good friend to me. He's been nothing but supportive and encouraging, and his wife Kathy as well. He's preached sometimes. One morning I woke up, I often preach sick, but that was the kind of sick you could not come and preach. So text him and Kathy at like 5 a.m. Any chance you have a sermon in your bag somewhere this morning? And right away, you got it. Don't even worry about it. And this is the kind of guy that David is. So we're grateful that you're here.
My pleasure. Awesome. Great to see you all. Boy, what a surprise. What a surprise. And, thank you. All right, thank you. Yeah, that's better. I might be able to read without my glasses. Thanks, Franny. Seriously, though, it's a great honor to be here and see you all and give you all hugs and begin to reminisce a little, although there's not enough time to do that thoroughly. I've got a few show-and-tell items that I brought with me, so I need the podium to keep me on track and so forth. Yeah, no, trust me, I do look older. But, Pat, I got to say one thing, though. You're talking about, you know, legacy churches leaving things. We had someone who tried to give us an old-fashioned organ back in the early days, and we were kind of going a different direction with our music ministry, and we had to kind of politely say thanks, but no thanks. But anyway, I don't think any future churches will get an organ from here. So, but thank you, Pastor Marilyn, for having me. And for all of you church leaders, council, and elders for allowing me to be here at this very special but sad closing service. It was a privilege for me to be used of the Lord in helping launch this congregation, and it's an honor for me to be present with you this afternoon here at Vista Evangelical Covenant Church. Yeah, I know. You know, a little bit of an analogy. When my older son, Dutch, and some of you remember him, went into the Navy, about halfway through when I'd communicate with him, he started saying, "I want to be called David." It's just his real name. But even today, you know, after all these years, I still keep calling him Dutch. And so it's hard not to call Vista Evangelical Covenant Church, Oak Hills Church. So excuse me if I kind of make that blunder, as it were, several times today. Actually, the dream of Oak Hills Covenant Church, or any evangelical church being established here in North County, San Diego, began more than 30 years ago. Some of you may recall this. Others of you, this is new news. Back then, there were five existing evangelical covenant congregations in San Diego County, and they developed a leadership team, sort of a task force, that was spearheaded by then-pastor Gary Walter, who is now Dr. Gary Walter and the head of the Evangelical Covenant Church, our president. But this task force believed that the Holy Spirit was calling them to pray and to plan for a new church somewhere up in the North County, and that was left to be determined. It was that church planning task force that eventually called my wife and me to serve as founding pastor in 1990, many moons ago. And so that we had some kind of official-sounding name back then, in those groundwork-laying days, we selected the church very close to what we have now, North County Evangelical Covenant Church. And I even have some stationery. Those of you who are close enough can see that. See that, Marilyn? You know? And so that's what we used, because we had to prove that we were a legitimate church planting ministry at that point. So where did the name Oak Hills come from? Where did that originate? Well, to answer that, I have to take you back to around 1988 in Minneapolis, Minnesocold. First Covenant Church of Minneapolis was considering, at the time, daughtering a new congregation in the southwest suburbs of Minneapolis. And as associate pastor there, I was involved with the project. One day while I was traveling an outer ring freeway, I saw a plot of undeveloped land near an intersection there, and it stood out as a very unique possibility for a new church plant. I got off the freeway and drove as close to the area as I could get, because it was undeveloped. And I walked around the location just a bit there that day. It wasn't snowing, fortunately. But picture a small circular lake surrounded by what we would call in California low hills. And those low hills were covered with groves of oak trees. And in my mind's eye then, I was able to see a church facility and other ministry resources developed in that area. And so I don't know whether it was in that moment or a couple of days later in a devotional time, the name Oak Hills Church got planted in my brain. Well, the daughtering process at First Covenant did not materialize, but I kept that name sort of tucked away in the back of my mind. And the verses of Scripture that tie in with this come from Isaiah chapter 61. And I want to read the first three verses, because this is where it all came together. And let me get my glasses. I have gotten older, Dee Dee. Certainly my eyes have. Isaiah 61, of course, this is part of the more prophetic section of the book of Isaiah, looking forward to God ultimately redeeming and caring for his people after their 70 years of being in captivity in Babylon. And it goes like this: "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, instead of mourning a garment of praise, instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. And it was that last part of verse 3, becoming oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor, that became sort of our motivating theme as we began to do the planning and preparation for what became Oak Hills Church. Well, as we moved here in 1990, and we began getting accustomed to our surrounding area, I'd never been out here before. I had no relatives in this area of San Diego whatsoever. But I kept noticing as we traveled around Vista and Oceanside and Carlsbad and San Marcos, the names Oak or Hills just popped up everywhere. And so it wasn't long before we changed the name of our fledgling enterprise from North County Evangelical Covenant Church to Oak Hills Covenant Church. And this was another newsletter that we had as we began to develop and gain some momentum. Now, although our tiny church planting team faced various delays and disappointments during the starting phase, 18 months later, Oak Hills Covenant Church publicly launched at Rancho Buena Vista High School, and some of you were there. It was a mixture of other San Diego area covenanters who came to wish us well, including my mom and dad, who flew all the way from Holland, Michigan to join us, and a group of brand new people that came as a result of our marketing and our knocking doors in neighborhoods and inviting people to come if they were looking for and needing a new church home. It was an exciting and challenging and spiritually fruitful period of time for me in those 3.5 years that I served full-time as founding pastor. And some of those early attenders and members, who I still call Oak Hills pioneers, you are still active here at Oak Hills Church. And how I blesses my heart and encourages my heart that you have been here all these years and stayed faithful to the Lord and to the other believers here and encouraged and served and encouraged and served again and again. Others may not be at this church any longer, but they are still cherished friends in the Lord who I continue to enjoy mutually encouraging relationships with. And as you all know, relationships are the stuff of life. And those continue on and will continue on for you as well. As I'm sure you would agree, life often is what happens that we haven't planned for or desired or expected. I'd hoped to be pastoring at Oak Hills Church for many years when we moved here, and that this congregation would grow to the point where it might even plant other churches in North County for the Evangelical Covenant Church. But life took a different turn for me. And you who are gathered here today didn't anticipate or want this congregation to have to close its doors after 25 years of Christian witness and service. And yet this is reality, and this is where we are. Of course, the body of Christ and the kingdom of God are much bigger and grander than any one church fellowship. Life and growth in the Lord need not, indeed must not cease, simply because members of this wonderful, loving congregation have to seek out another church home in the days ahead. I'm reminded of a New Testament verse that has already been shared once by Marilyn and probably will be shared again in some of the videos from Philippians 1:6. Let me read it again. Being confident of this, if you haven't memorized this verse, today's a great day to memorize this scripture. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And of course, that verse applies not only to a collective body, but to us as individual believers as well. In closing, at the risk of hearing a few boos, Robert, this is where you can come in a minute. At the risk of hearing a few boos from the audience, let me share a rough analogy to this moment in the life cycle of Vista Evangelical Covenant Church. The Chargers. They're moving too. They're moving too. Well, as you all know by now, the Chargers NFL franchise has left San Diego for L.A. and will begin playing games up there this fall. Charger Park will close down later this year. There will be no more agonizing fourth quarters for the Bolts in Qualcomm Stadium. Assuming you haven't already jettisoned your Charger gear earlier in previous years and started rooting for another NFL team, you and I will now have to make a choice. We can either pick another football team to actively support, or in disappointment or anger, we can stop participating altogether in America's favorite pastime. These fickle football fans. In a somewhat similar way, you here today have a choice in response to the closure of Vista Evangelical Covenant Church as a local active congregation. You can pray and let the Holy Spirit guide you to the right new body of believers for worship, spiritual growth, and service that the Lord knows you need at this stage of your life. Or, in disappointment or sadness or anger, choose not to plug into a new church and then experience the downward cycle of spiritual backsliding and fruitlessness. Certainly, I would urge you in the Lord and exhort you, I love that biblical term, exhort you to select the first option. Check out other solid churches here in North County by either online internet search and or visiting other churches in person. Look beyond the mere promotional bylines or slogans. Search out their statement of faith and their ministry priorities. Make sure the Bible is taught, as Pastor Marilyn has taught, and not just sermons about the Bible. Watch for genuine fellowship and stretching service opportunities for you to use your spiritual gifts and abilities in. God will lead and provide. Amen? Amen. God bless you all.
Together for us. Tom worked really hard all week to get all that together, to get all the pastor's videos together, and to create our lunch. So we have a lot to be thankful for. As a faithful servant, Tom, you and your family, always, always, always faithful. Thank you. As the last pastor on the list, not the younger or anything like that, but just the last one, I want to thank you for inviting me into your story and for launching me into pastoral ministry. As so many other pastors have said, we don't know what we're doing when we come, and we just need a lot of grace and a lot of love and a lot of prayer and a lot of teaching. And so I thank you for all the grace that you've given me. I thank you for putting up with those long sermon lectures when I first came right outside of seminary. And I remember Tom and I got the, when I first came, I said, well, what time are we over? You know, or I said, what time do we end? And he thought I meant, what time are we all gone? And he told me the time, and I thought we're supposed to go to that time, to the end of the service. So, you know, we got that more and more in order. But I thank you for your grace, for calling this female pastor, which was an act of the Holy Spirit, which was obedience to the Lord. And you took a step of faith, and you joined together, and you prayed, and you followed what the Lord said to do. And because of that, I was launched into pastoral ministry, commissioned here, and ordained, as many of the other pastors were as well. You met them, Craig. I think this was his first pastor, senior pastor role as well, and now he's launched into the Covenant denomination. And Bob Kennedy, I think he ordained through you guys as well. Peter Foster's recently ordained. Kelly Perez launched into the Covenant ministry as well, went to North Park Seminary from here. Maybe you paved the way for a female pastor, Kelly. Thank you for being such a good example. We never know who we're paving the way for. Beth Stoker, Beth becoming a missionary, launched out of here in this church family. Alex and Danielle planting their church, Restoration Abbey, out of this church family. And Franny, I think, launching her into a full-time, sort of in-charge worship director. And wasn't she just fit for the call, right? And Jordan had done some other youth ministry, so he was the right one for this past year for us as well. He brought a lot of healing and a peaceful presence to us, so thank you, Jordan, for that. I want to thank all my staff over the 3.5 years that I've been here and their patience and their devotion. Every single one of our admins have just worked so hard for this church. Our council, our elders, our facilities persons, our person at times, our Sunday school teachers, small group leaders, Shine out community outreach. There's so much. Kingdom work is definitely teamwork. And this has been a team effort for sure. When I first came, one of my very first fun memories is the students had done a big pastor said poster said welcome pastor, and they signed it. They said welcome pastor, and my grandson had come that first Sunday too, and so he said welcome grandma. So I still have that, and I'm sure I'll frame it actually, because it will become more and more precious as the time goes on, and we all reflect of what we had here, and how special that it was. Special thanks to my stepdad Larry, who is the dad I never had, and who came every Sunday from my first Sunday and supported me. I love you. And Kathy's not here, but special thanks to my faithful friend Kathy, who came over from Emmanuel Faith and sat by me every single Sunday. And Mike isn't here because he's in Denver with meetings all day, or he would have come, would have been here, of course. I think the only harder job than a senior pastor is being a senior pastor's spouse, and the only harder job than that is being a senior pastor's husband. And so I think my husband had the hardest job in the church. We know many godly men who couldn't do what Mike does. And I'm forever grateful to be married to such a humble, loving, supportive man who loves Jesus so much. And so from both of us, thank you for receiving us and your grace and your patience and your prayers and your love, and for launching us into God's kingdom assignments. Some of my best memories, obviously I'm a pastor because they were already spoken, serving communion to each of you by name, putting my arm around you and calling you by name was really a highlight for me. Jim Wong's baptism was a really special highlight, very unconventional, but very meaningful. Jim and Rena will forever be tender in my heart. Taking Tara to Chick, that was quite the experience as well. Church Padre games, those were a lot of fun. Getting ordained with many of you, traveling all the way to Phoenix to celebrate that with me, really touched my heart. I thank you for that. Making new lifelong friends, Crystal and Kathy, those long breakfasts. Where's Crystal? We probably will continue those, hopefully. And fun with the Hall family. We have a great amount of memories with the Hall family, serving us a romantic dinner at the Hall Fine Dining Garden and training up Evan and Jason and Zipporah to be our servants. And many after-church family times together with them are very meaningful, each and every one of them very meaningful for us. And, of course, lunch with Goldie. Who wouldn't ever forget lunch with Goldie, right? Those were very, very special. Outside of Marion, I don't think I'd met anyone more on fire for Jesus than Goldie and Marion. Those are our heroes of our church. My most impactful memories, of course, were walking through the valleys of this life with each of you. Brenna and Diane's memorial. Steve Pittman's and their transition out of the military. It was a very meaningful time for me as a pastor to help them through that. Sitting with many of you in the hospital during a loved one's surgery, very meaningful for me. You may have thought I was there for you, but I was the one that was richly blessed with your friendship. It's been an honor to share in your life, been an honor to share in the story of Oak Hills Vista Evangelical Covenant Church. I still pinch myself that I got to do this. Because I can't imagine life if I hadn't. Where would I be? Not where I am today. So thank you. Thank you, each and every one of you. My trophy is a spiritual fruit that I see in each of you. The freedom to worship God more and more in spirit and truth. And the faith in hard times. Not to let go of faith when time is hard and you don't understand what God is doing. That's my trophy. When I see your faith get stronger and more free. So my last words as your pastor, I thought, what would I want to say? I think the two things I want to leave you with would be one, that saying, bloom where you're planted, I think is a bunch of hogwash. You think about it. If you put a plant where it doesn't want to bloom, it's not going to bloom. It's going to die. Any person who has any kind of green thumb knows that the truth is you've got to plant yourself where you can bloom. That really is the key. And so as you pray about where to worship next and where to fellowship next and where to serve next, think about where you can bloom in your faith. Because that's so important that you feel welcomed, you feel like I can grow here. I can sense Jesus here. I might be able to serve and plug in here. It's very important to ask that. Where do you fit? Because we don't all fit in the same place, thank goodness. We're all very, very different, but what's important is that we're all blooming and growing in Christ our Lord. And so look for that place where you can bloom. Look for that healthy church. I would say a healthy church is where you're growing and blooming in the Word, in worship, and in witness. All three. Where can you bloom in the Word, in worship, and witness? Look for a place for you. One of the most, I think, mature statements I'd heard in the last month as we talked about with different people, where people will worship next, is Brant is not here. He's recovering from surgery, doing well, thank goodness. But he said at an elder meeting, he said, Crystal and I have prayed about it, and we don't want to just go where everybody else might be going. We want to go where God is leading. So what they're saying is we want to go where we'll bloom in our faith and where we'll grow. We've done some hard paddling. You've done some hard paddling before I even came. And maybe you were here because you didn't want to abandon ship and you didn't want to leave your friends and your family here. But maybe this is a gift to you to actually think about where you can start growing again and not have to paddle so hard. So I'd encourage you in that way. Find a good place for you to grow. Because my last statement is that God calls us to end as strong as we started. End as strong as we started. Many people just look at the good beginnings, you know. I gave my life to the Lord. I did it. But what Jesus is looking for is how are we going to end it? He wants us to end as strong, if not stronger, as we began it. That's the growing process. And so we must keep, as the Apostle Paul said, keep pressing toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, I didn't even know that David Dobbinsbeck and some of the other pastors were going to talk about Philippians 1:6, that God will be faithful to complete what he started, but I think that's his word for us today because he said it to each and every one of us, and I'm not that organized to put that kind of program together. God is faithful to complete what he began, and he wants to do it. And he will do it. He will do it in us and through us. And I'm confident of that. So as we close out our time, I want to call up Tom and John to join me as elders. Brant's not here, but ask them to stand up here with me and just pray for us, and then we're going to close in worship.
Tom elected to cook. Brant elected to have hip replacement. So I'm left to lead the prayer. So why don't we all come together, grab a hand.
Move this down.
Grab a shoulder. Grab a hug. Whatever. let's bow our heads in prayer. Father God, it's hard to count the many blessings that you've given us, both in our friendships, both in our church, both in our community, but we thank you for every single one. I ask that you give a special blessing for Pastor Marilyn and her family. Extremely difficult. She may have had her first chance here, but it won't be her last chance. And we just ask you to bless her as she begins the search for her next church in whatever capacity she's going to be in. I also ask for a special blessing for everyone who leaves this church, who's ever been here, who's ever in another church. And I ask that you bless the churches where they go, where they will go, where they will serve, where they will worship, whether they will be leaders. And know that you have people that love you immensely. And that they love your word. They love the fellowship. They love the friendships. And that will never, ever cease. We ask it all in your name.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Amen.